to MimiPierceDesigns.com, the podcast. And now, here's Mimi Pierce.
Hello, friends, and welcome to Mimi Pierce Designs, the podcast. I hope you had a fabulous weekend. I had an interesting weekend. It was a little crazy, a little fun adventure for me, and just something new. You know that we're coming up on about a year anniversary that I was let go from WFMS Radio, and then prior to that, the NBC affiliate. So I've learned to kind of venture out. It's not been easy, but a friend of mine said, hey, you know, you're so good at putting things together. Would you mind helping me be the coordinator for my wedding? And so I thought, you know, I'm learning a lot of things in this past year. And I thought, why not? And this wedding was just gorgeous. It was down in Heltonville, Indiana, home of Damon Bailey, at a very beautiful venue. It's called Laurel Mills. And the wedding weekend went off really without any major glitches. Now I'm worn out after all that, but it was fun. And it just gave me that confidence that, you know, you can just get out there and you can do anything. But, you know, I've come a long way and it's been hard because WFMS was such a part of my life for so many years, 34 years. And it was such a part of my family. As many of you know, my husband is Jim of the JDK show. The K part is Kevin. We're going to talk to him in just a minute. The Deb is Deb Honeycutt. And so I thought it would be fun because I always talk to Jim every day of my life that we kind of go behind the scenes with Kevin Freeman of the JDK show. So he is joining me today. This is fun.
This is like old times. I love this.
I feel like I'm like back on the radio with you.
I hear Mimi Pierce in my headphones. I love that.
I know. It's fun. It's fun. We do. We go way back, and you know, I'm having fun with this podcast because all those listeners that we've had over the years, and we had over the years, you know, they're joining me for my podcast, and it makes me kind of feel like I'm still doing radio a little bit. Only it's on my time.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm not getting up at 1:45 in the morning. What time are you getting up these days, Kevin?
I'm getting, well, because of COVID and because we do part of our show, I'm able to do part of my show at home. I get up an hour later. I get up at 3 o'clock every day now. So sleeping an extra hour. So I'm happy with that. Yeah.
Okay. So we're going to go back. Let's go back to the beginning, how your radio career began. And if it was something you'd always had a vision of doing radio. So fill folks in on how you got started and kind of your background as you grew up in the city.
Yeah, I grew up on the east side, went to Warren Central, and I can remember I was probably in maybe fourth grade, maybe third grade, and I had a chance to get a tour of the WSMJ studios, which are in Greenfield, which is now what I think it's the frequency that WZPL has. But I got to tour a station out in Greenfield, and I walked in, and I saw a guy, his name was Tim Renshaw, and I saw him do his radio show, and I thought, wait a minute, you can get paid to do this? I want this job. And so it was at that point that I really fell in love with radio. I was always a big fan of radio, but I felt like that was kind of my first chance to think I could make a living doing that, which sounded exciting. And then I went to a high school at Warren Central. They had a radio station program there, so I was a part of that. WEDM with the call letters. And then I went off to Anderson University. And then my first paid job was at WHBU in Anderson. And then later WFBM, the daytimer in Noblesville. But I hit big time when I got to do fill in for Mimi Pierce on WFMS. I rode in the little Cessna. You would give me the model number, Mimi.
But, we started in a 152, which was the 2-seater, and then we kind of moved up in life to the 172.
There was a back row because I would sit in the back row of the plane.
Okay, so you sat in the front row,
and then the first couple of days I kind of got the feel of what the flying was like, and you assured me that you know, it's gonna be a little bumpy here and there, but you know, you'll be fine. And then at part of my training, I moved to the front seat. You moved to the back seat so I could see more of the city, so I could know how to report on traffic. And then when you took your vacation, I was in charge of the city. I still have a clipboard You probably don't know this, Mimi. A clipboard that you gave me and you highlighted in the Mimi Pierce handwriting that has a slight angle to it that says, just, Kevin, remember these items. And it was basically, you dumbed it down for me. You said, in the morning, it's inbound traffic. And in the afternoon, it's outbound traffic. Just remember those, and you'll be fine. And so, yeah, so I got my first start at WFMS doing backup as your backup.
Okay, and tell the paraffin story that everyone. Okay, yeah.
So we had to share a headset, and in the plane, you wear these little heavier headsets than we do in radio, and has a boom mic attached to the headset, and I would have to wear the headset that Mimi would, same headset, because the station couldn't afford two of those. They're very expensive headsets. But there would be always an inch of, we joked it was paraffin, but an inch of wax or lipstick on that windscreen of that that headset that was kept in the airplane. Because Mimi, as folks listening to this podcast, I'm sure are full aware, Mimi looks beautiful all the time, whether it's at 3 o'clock in the morning getting ready to go to work on television, or in years before that, 4 o'clock in the morning getting ready to go fly in a plane with no air conditioning. She still looked like $1 million. And so she had that lipstick on.
That's one thing my mother always told me, never go out of the house without the lipstick, even if I was in a 172 up in the air.
So there you go.
To this day, I just never leave the house without.
I know your mom. She's a good woman. You listen to her. She's got good advice.
Well, speaking of your mom, I adore your mom and dad. You know, we've all through this. How many years have we been together? Okay. There's 34. How many?
32. It's coming up on 32 for me. Yeah. So I have worked with you and your husband for 32 years. Think about that. I mean, that's a lifetime that, and we joke that we're not coworkers, we're really friends, but we're beyond friends. We're family now. When you're with somebody for 32 years, you're really family. Yeah. So my mom looks at you and Jim and Deb as the extended family, you know, the other daughters and sons that she has.
We just adore them. It is. Yeah. It's like we just, you know, we because we share so much each day with each other, you know, especially with you guys in the studio. There's just so much of our lives, you know, that we've shared together over those years.
I can remember time when we went to, your dad would have a big, I think you called it the Hootenanny. A big party down at the farm. And you invited my folks to come as well. So again, an example of, here we spend hours a day in a small studio together. And then when we're away from that small studio, we still want to get together. And so much so we bring our families to together. So all of our families just kind of blended together over the last 32 years.
We have had a lot of fun. So let's get back into the radio part with Jim, Deb, and Kevin. Uh-huh. All right. I'm putting you a little bit on the spot. Give me something that drives you nuts about Jim Denny.
Oh, okay.
Give me something that drives you nuts about Deb.
Okay. Only one thing? Oh, okay. let's see. For Jimmy, it's that, Mimi, you probably would agree with me on this. It's that Jim is so neutral about anything. He is so right down the middle. He doesn't want to offend anybody. He is Switzerland all the way. And there are times that I can be passionate about something and I'll say, Jim, don't you see that this is the wrong way? And he'll say, well, yeah, I see your point. I'm not belittling you in any way. I'm just saying that there's another way to look at it. I'm like,
drives me crazy.
Yeah. And then Deb, and she's probably going to be listening to this, bless her heart. I love her like a sis. But she's not the most punctual person. Mm. And I am. Jim and I are very set in our ways. There's certain ways we've done it together for 32 years, and she doesn't. But that makes us a good team.
She comes scooting in some days.
Yeah. She gets the job done, though. She gets it done. Yeah.
Maybe just minutes before the show.
Right.
But, So those are a couple of things that
I just wish Jim would back me up sometimes, but instead he wants to be neutral all the time.
I know. He's just so positive all the time. And then you ask for that and you're like, really?
Just support me
once.
You
think you want to hear what, you know, and you think he's going to say the right thing. And then you're like, really?
Yeah.
Okay. So let's go into the radio side of it, the country music side of it, which we have had so many amazing experiences, opportunities. But there has to be a couple of really most embarrassing moment maybe on the radio for you.
Okay.
And then most embarrassing moment maybe in front of a country artist.
Oh, boy. Well, this one could be really classified as both. Most embarrassing on the radio and in front of a country artist. This was again with Jim a number of years ago down in Nashville. We're doing an interview with Billy Ray Cyrus, and this is just after it all hit really big with Achy Breaky Heart. It was a few years after that fact. We were doing this interview with him, and Jim is the lead interviewer. He's starting it all off, and I'm got the headset on, making sure that everything is sounding right for the interview. And it wasn't sounding right. Something was wrong. And so my natural instinct was the wrong one, and that was to unplug the microphone. So I literally unplugged the microphone while Jimmy is holding the mic, interviewing Billy Ray. The mic cable is swinging like a pendulum, just empty, not plugged in anything. And Jim continues the interview, looking out of the corner of my eye, thinking, what are you doing, Kevin? To Billy Ray's credit, he either ignored the fact that there was nothing plugged into that microphone while Jim was asking the questions, or he was just oblivious to it, had no idea. I don't know what, but I was pretty embarrassed about that. And we did an interview with Jim would have to correct me if I'm wrong, but I think it was Jody Messina on her bus one time. Great interview. One of the best ones we'd done. And I didn't hit record on the recorder wrong.
Wait, that sounds familiar, doesn't it, to you? Something that may have happened to me.
My
very first, because back at our old studio, they had asked me to do some public service work, and I was so excited. It was Dr. Nancy Snyderman. She was huge on, she was the doctor for the NBC. She was their correspondent.
Okay.
And I was so excited. Mm-hmm. And you know what happened to me? I had researched her. I had great questions. Yeah. And what happened, Kevin?
Well, Mimi forgot to hit the record button. And when you say you researched it, I mean, you did far more because I had to do those interviews as well.
Yeah.
And my interview style was simply, who are you and why are you here? And that would be kind of my background, my study on what we're going to talk about. Mm-hmm. You actually read the book. You did the bullet points. I think you might have even corresponded with her. And here's the question I'm going to ask you. Yeah. Did all the homework. You just forgot to turn the record button on.
Yeah. And it's one of those cases, those kind of people, you're too embarrassed to ask, can we do it again? So it just, it never happened again.
I'm sure it was
a wonderful interview.
Probably award-winning, you know,
probably so. But oh, I was just so mad at myself for days over that. Okay. So country music. That's what you say. It's really never like you're going to a job, especially when you guys have traveled some of the most neat places, you know, always in Nashville. It's kind of your second home. Mm-hmm. Favorite artist to interview?
Wow. Well, Garth Brooks has to be up there because he's always fun. I think Brad Paisley would be one in my group. And I guess it's interesting because you asked that same question to Jim. He may have a different answer, even though we were in the same room doing the same things.
Garth Brooks, because he said he is the master. I mean, at marketing, he knows. I mean, which I know he does remember you guys because you've been around, you know, for all that time. But I mean, this is a guy that would come in and ask about Corbin. I mean, ask about Taylor, because he had a Taylor too. Or, you know, he just does his research to make sure he makes it so personal. So that Jim always loves that about Garth Brooks.
I think Dolly was another one. Now we've never interviewed her in person, but we've interviewed her by way of phone. I don't know, maybe 3 or 4 times. And she's always been a delight. She's exactly what a Dolly fan would hope Dolly is really like.
Right.
Just as pleasant and sweet as you possibly. Reba was very nice too. Although Reba's a businesswoman, she made sure that she got the bullet points of why she was doing the interview in the concept of that interview. She made sure she talked about the concert or the album coming up. Dolly could care less. You know, we were just there talking as friends, and that's all she really worried about.
I'm going to put you on the little spot a little bit here.
All right.
Who is someone that just, all right, come on. You're going to have to come clean on this.
Oh, no. Don't
do this. Who is not an easy interview?
Okay.
Of a country artist. Who is not an easy?
Again, I think Jimmy would back me up on this. I think Toby Keith is one. You've got to do your homework with Toby. Mimi, you would be great as a Toby Keith interviewer because you would have done your homework. But Toby, and again, we've interviewed Toby a number of times, so we kind of know how he is, but he will expect you to know what you're there to talk about. And if you ask a question, then he thinks you're just kind of mailing it in. His answers then become yes and no. He doesn't elaborate. So he really will make you work for that interview. So I would say Toby would be probably my top of the list. Love talking to him, but he'll make you work for it.
Yeah. I also remember Jim telling this story one time. His mind just went blank when the artist walked in. Do you remember who this was? I can't remember what his reaction it was. He did some kind of generic thing. Was it Luke Bryan?
It was Luke Bryan. Yeah. Who was at he still is the top of his game, but on television, on radio and everywhere. And we had done interview after interview. I mean, we were probably on day two of, 15 interviews at a time. You're just exhausted mentally. And as I mentioned, Jim's normally the lead interviewer, which means he's the first voice coming out of whatever we're doing. And then we all three jump in and start talking. Well, it was his job to introduce who we're going to talk to. And his brain just went blank. And I'll do a full confession. My brain was right there with him because I could have bailed him out, but I didn't because I was thinking, okay, who are we talking to right now? We've interviewed Luke a million times.
Right.
We know what he looks like. We go back before he was a star. We interviewed him, but mine went blank. And when his went blank, mine did too. I guess we're connected mentally that way.
Yeah. Yeah. So that was probably down at a CMA award show, and explain to people because, you're there for a couple of days before the CMA show and you're doing, you go to a studio usually, and they're bringing some big stars in, then you're getting some not so big stars, but you have to do them. It's just part of the week there. So, explain to people how that works when you're down there for the CMA.
Well, we're also doing our show. So we're doing our radio show and then we're doing interviews. So many times we'll do a 4-hour radio show. And then right when we're done, literally when we're done, we unplug the live radio gear and plug in the recorded radio gear, the gear to do the recording. And so it's a super long day. Now, again, it's not digging ditches. I mean, so I can't complain too much, but you will be in a room, pretty good size, like banquet room, like something you would have a wedding reception, meaning that you'd plan for somebody. And there would be table after table after table, and it'd be Indianapolis and Seattle and Dallas and Portland and just all these different cities all around the room, and DJs sitting at those tables. And then artists would come by, they'd hold a clipboard up and say, Garth Brooks in 5 minutes. So you had a 5 minutes to prepare that, okay, Garth is coming by. And then you would do your 3 or 4 minute interview and they'd march them on. But as you point out, there are some times that they would bring by an artist that would say, Phil Jones. And you're like, who is Phil Jones? And so you have a bio book, you're thumbing through it. So you can at least sound somewhat intelligent when you ask Phil Jones about his record or whatever he may have out. So,
One thing I always like, and Deb is good at this, she does like little contest with them, favorite, or get favorite cereal or, which is good because it kind of takes you behind the scenes and they always seem to enjoy it. They kind of get a kick out of when you kind of get out of the country music business and just let them be them. And that's what I always love about you guys and your interviews, because I think most artists feel so comfortable with you guys.
You know, it's funny you say that too, because when we've done interviews with Keith Urban, the lead person coming around before the interview will say, or if it's a phoner where they're calling in, they'll say, now remember, this interview is with Keith. Let's not bring up Nicole or the kids. And of course, we honor that request. But in a lot of times during the interview, he will bring it up. He'll say, hey, Nicole and I just got back from Australia. The kids are this. So he feels comfortable enough with us
that he can share that with you.
And we're not going to go down some road about their marriage that he may not want to talk about. Not that there's anything bad. It's just I'm here to talk about my music. Yeah. Right. Yeah. So I think they do feel comfortable.
Well, and I think too, a lot of it, the radio business, as we know, it's ever evolving. It changes, especially now with podcasts, with different things that people can turn to. But I think the one thing that WFMS listeners love is that you're all hometown. And I think that is what has made this show work so long, is because they're not throwing people, from other states in here that don't know anything about the states. And I see that a lot in television now when they bring someone in that, you know, every once in a while I'll watch the news again and it's like the person mispronounces because they're not here. And if you were a Hoosier, you'd know how to pronounce that. But I always think, and I mean, I know I'm a little biased, but I think this show works so well is because you guys are from here and you're so local and people, you know, they relate to you guys. So I think that that's why this show has always worked so well for you guys.
Yeah. And without sounding arrogant, I'm going to say that we're not arrogant by saying that I think that that helped. Many people will say, well, gee, Jim, Deb and Kevin, we've given these awards. We've been together for years. We don't have an ego, I don't think. Does that sound like I have an ego by saying we don't have an ego? I think that that's the other unique thing is that, and I think these are Jim's words, he'll say that we really are just country music fans, that we're just like our listeners. We just happen to have a microphone in front of us. That's the only difference. And so we don't view ourselves anything any better than our listeners who are country music fans. We are too. We're just fortunate enough to be able to have a microphone in front of us and interview the stars.
Okay, who's your, as far as beauty, that when this girl just walks, whoever it is, when this artist, this female artist walks in the room, you and Jim just go, well, you may have separate different thoughts, but who makes your mouth just, your jaw just drop?
I think Carrie Underwood is a very pretty girl. I think Martina McBride has always been high on my list.
She's getting ready to get inducted.
I'm
feeling old.
I know.
She was so, you know, she was so popular and everything, but she's getting ready to get inducted into like the Hall of Fame.
Yep. I think Faith Hill is another one. I think just a very pretty lady, not in the country music world and certainly not really in today's entertainment news. But a number of years ago, I was out in Los Angeles doing an NBC premiere week where they had different shows on and we were to talk about it on the radio. And they brought in some past stars. And one of them was Brooke Shields. I didn't know a whole lot about Brooke Shields. I just knew who she was, obviously. Well, in order for us to get the interview on, because we're Eastern time zone, they said, we're gonna kind of make an exception here. We're going to bring her in early. And this is out in California. And they said, the one request is that you not take any pictures. And this is before social media. So that wasn't that odd of a request.
Right.
They said, she's literally going to be coming in without her makeup on and she would prefer not to have pictures. And we said, that's fine. And Mimi, she walked in and was absolutely stunning without
just
makeup.
That natural.
A natural and was very, very sweet and very, very kind. But I could see how they didn't want the pictures out there without that. But yeah, I would say, Carrie, Martina, Faith, and Brooke Shields any day now with Brooke Shields, but you know, I'm saying when I did that interview, I was quite impressed.
Yeah. I'm going to switch gears here a little bit because, you know, COVID impacted so many of our lives, each and every one of us, including, you know, mine, FMS, it was COVID budget cuts. And that's the reason that, you know, I was let go at WFMS and, you know, but you had COVID.
I did.
And it was in the very beginning. I mean, it was when this was just both you and Deb.
Yeah.
Deb got it first and then you. And how Jim did not, you know, because you guys had all been in that studio together. This was what? So this was the early part of March?
March.
Was it? Maybe middle. I mean, you two were one of the first ones to have it.
Yeah, I went to the hospital. Felt bad and a lot, you know, was coughing, not feeling good. And I went to the hospital. This is so early on, they didn't have many of the tests. And so they were kind of rationing out the tests. And I didn't meet the criteria. You had to hit like three of the criteria to be issued a COVID test. So they sent me home and just said, you know, you're sick. But if your oxygen level drops a certain level, you know, come back in. Well, it did. And so I went in and immediately hospitalized me. And again, as Mimi pointed out, it was very early on this. And I was out in Greenfield, and I will tell you the care I got, as I'm sure with any hospital, was for me, it was superb. But it was so early on, they didn't really know how to deal with me. And so I was in a room by myself, pretty much isolated. They would come in twice a day and they would gown up almost in like a spacesuit outfit and would come in and bring my food in for me. And they had big windows So they could kind of see me, and I had pneumonia. And so they wanted me to move around as much as possible. So the nurse would say, when I come by and look in the window, I want you out of your bed in the couch. And then the next time out of the couch in the chair, and then back, constantly moving, because that would help me. But yeah, that made me appreciate, not that I didn't already, but it made me appreciate more what those first responders went through, what those, that young nurse that was assigned to me, who was the age of my daughters, who was at risking her life to come in and make sure that I survived, you know, really, it's quite humbling. It really is.
And that was, like you said, the early stages. And when we got into that just full, you know, in November mm-hmm. and December when you know, people had it, even worse. And then we were learning more that those caregivers, you just, you know, you can't even imagine, you know, their mental state, their health, just being exhausted all the time. But I mean, thank God. Yeah. I mean, I remember your Andrea, which is Kevin's wife, calling us. And I mean, it wasn't good. And we were all, you know, we were all pretty scared.
Yeah. I appreciate, I know you're praying for me, and I appreciate that.
Yeah.
But I do think Jim is an Iron Man, though. We joke about
Franzia
Jim.
It's Franzia Wine.
I think, well, it could be. We don't know, because not to get real personal, but I know that you suffered. You had it. So did your son.
Corbin, yeah. Not to the extent of you guys, believe me.
Not everybody, but about everybody Jim knew got it, and Jim didn't. How? And Jim was a frontline worker within our company, and a little bit more behind the scenes. Jim was the one, there's a handful of people that were assigned to go to work physically in the building every day for a year plus, 18 months, 19, whatever it was, Jim did that. So he wasn't like, you know, hiding out in his studio at his home. He was literally going out in it every day, and he didn't get it. So,
I will explain that, you know, when he was going in the beginning, both you and Deb had it, and luckily I was still employed. So had to step up and be his partner, being his partner that time. But he would say, you know, going in, this is a, you know, fairly good sized building over on Shadeland Avenue. And he said the hardest part was going into that building every day by himself. He was the first one in there, and it just was freaky. It just was scary. So I know, what was it? You guys finally all got to come back. You know, you came in first, then Deb mm-hmm. entered after the whole vaccination process. The company changed some things, and he was never so glad. He said, oh, my little buddy, he's back, you know, because he said that was the hardest part, is just going in every morning by himself when he was so used to you guys being with him. So things are starting to get back. And I don't think everybody is back at the station yet as far as the business people.
You just mentioned here before we started this that you just did a big, I assume it was a bigger wedding than what they were having.
It was a big wedding. It was
18 months ago, they were canceling those kind of weddings. They were having just wedding party involved in the weddings. And now, thankfully, things are opening up and you're able to actually, you know, do the wedding planning business again that you couldn't do before because of COVID. So,
and you know what? It was so weird. At one point during the wedding, actually it was after, I was kind of help cleaning up, and I'm thinking to myself, this is weird. I was touching mm-hmm. like glasses, and I thought, you know what? You know, several months ago, I wouldn't be able to be, and finally I just thought, I'm going to go put some gloves on. It was just because my mentality went to that. I thought, you know, I wouldn't even have touched glass, you know, someone, you know, whose hands had touched a glass. It's just that whole rethinking everything. But it did take me back to that when I was there this weekend, and, you know, people were hugging again. And you're like, okay.
You really,
every once in a while, you still.
We think about the service industry, the restaurants, but we forget about those photographers and the wedding venue sites and the caterers and the wedding planners, which is what you do. You know, all that got put on hold because of COVID.
Scary. This one was full force this weekend, and it was a great celebration. So before we finish up, I just wanted mm-hmm. to a little bit about your personal life. You and your wife, Andrea, have been mm-hmm. married how many years?
Oh, don't do this to me.
Come on, Kev, you just celebrated, right? Okay.
It's 84 minus.
Oh, gosh.
It's 30 plus years.
Yeah, let's just say
35. I think 35,
sorry,
36.
Andrea, put him on the spot. And then you have three beautiful daughters.
We're married until now. Now I'm not married anymore, probably.
Yeah.
Yes, three beautiful daughters, Amanda, mm-hmm. Heather, and Stephanie, and their husbands. Aaron, Brad, and Doug. And then we have 8 grandkids.
That just blows me away. 8 grandkids.
And my oldest grandchild, who's a granddaughter, is 10 years old. Can you imagine that? 10 years old. So we had our kids young, then we're having our grandkids young, so we can,
you know, what? And that's one of those things I'm so jealous because, you know, Aiden is out in
I know that's got to be so tough. I know.
It is hard with him out in Colorado, our grandson. But I just love the fact that, you know, your girls are all around you. You get to see your grandkids, and I know how important that is to you. You get to go to their little baseball games. Yep. You get to take them to Tractor Supply.
I've taken them all to Tractor Supply. They've all looked at the chickens. I've promised to help them get chickens if their moms would let them get chickens. But yes.
Have any of them gotten chickens yet?
No, not yet. I'm working on Cooper. I think Cooper might be my grandson that wants. He's all about animals, and he was at the Marion County Fair last weekend and was right in there with the goats and the sheep and everything. So, yeah, I think he's going to be my farmer. In fact, that's what he wants to be, as a farmer. So there you go.
Okay.
I would love that. That would be great.
That would be. But, yeah, it's just you have a very special family. And like I said, and your mom makes the meanest. Well, Jim's favorite is her apple pie.
That's my favorite.
Is her sugar cream pie. She's, you know, but that one, but in fact, I got to stop by, she made me a treat. And it was during kind of that COVID period where, you know, they hadn't seen anyone in a long time and they were just starting to be able to see someone. So I think I was one of their first
visitors.
Did
she let you leave? Did she keep you around forever?
Well, bless her heart. I did have an appointment. So but it's always a treat. They still live in the home out on the east side that I, you know, when I first met him, that was where you grew up on the east side of town.
Yeah.
But what a blessing. We're all so blessed to have each other in our lives. And
that's
know that, it's not like going to work when you go in every morning. You guys are just, so.
The worst part of I think this is actually Jim's line, but I'll use it. Worst part of the job is the alarm clock. After that, it's pretty much smooth sailing. So,
Yeah. I'm going to confess, you know, I used to get up at 1:45.
Oh, you were up. And then you worked, those who don't know, Mimi also worked a split shift. So she would do the morning show and then turn around and do a JD Cannon show, which you need to have on your show, by the way.
I know.
You have JD on your show.
I've had people ask about, you know, I work for JD afternoons. For
longer than anybody, probably, or darn close to that.
Yeah.
So you would do a split shift. So you would literally get up in the morning, do our show, go home, and I would say take a nap, but you probably did chores sometimes or did something. Who knows what you did?
I usually got a nap in.
And then back again, flying in that airplane. I don't know how you did it. I don't know. Do you have any idea how many hours you logged in that plane?
You know, it's always funny because my dad was a pilot, and I used to, you know, when I was little, I flew with him, and he always wanted me to get my pilot's license. And I said, Dad, it's the last thing I want to do. I fly 5-6 hours a day. It's the last thing I want to do. However, I will say that my pilots over the years had taught me how to land and take off the plane, especially for an emergency situation. So I did know how to land it, but I'm like, it's the last thing I want to do is go get my pilot's license when I fly so much. But I have no idea. I should be a captain, I think, at United by now.
Oh, absolutely. Well, I think you told me on race weekend when you would circle the speedway and then land and refuel and circle the speedway, that you could have flown to like Florida and back in that amount of time.
But so we've had some good times together, and guys, your show continues to just be one of the best. Well, in my opinion, it is the best country.
Well, we appreciate
on air show, morning show. And it's clear because you guys have won so many awards and you're getting ready. Is it this week that submit
of scope of the show and what all we've done for the year. And then the CMA looks at that and says, not good enough. Or they say, hey, that was good enough.
I think they've said it's good enough a few times.
They have.
They've said it's good enough. So
How many Station of the Years have we won that you were certainly a part of? I mean,
oh gosh.
Again, Jim's the historian of the station, but a ton.
Pretty fun times, and they'll continue. But the hardest part is you guys have to wait just to find out if you get into, you know, if you're one of the, I don't know why I'm having trouble with that, but and then you wait until right before the CMAs. Hopefully this year, though, the CMAs, maybe they'll be back to normal.
That'd be nice. I hope so. I hope so. We got to go party in Nashville.
Yeah, we always have a good time. Good time. Yep. Well, thank you so much for being of this show. You know, I'm it's fun for me. I'm having lots of good times, and you know, I've got that old Mimi Pierce Designs. It's the .com that folks can go and take a look at my decor.
And I'm a customer. I'm a customer, unsolicited, but I'm telling you what.
Hello. I will just tell you, you were my first customer. Kevin was my very first customer. He bought my soaps for his girls for Christmas. He was my very first.
I knew that was a no-brainer Christmas present, and it was a home run all the way. I'm not a paid endorser, but I'm telling you right now, I'm a customer, and anybody listening who's never tried it, go to their website and buy whatever she's got for sale, because it's all great. Yeah,
it's we've got the goat milk soap, we got the Mimi line, the soap, the lotion, and in Martinsville, exclusively at Celebrations, they've got the neat Wonder Hill bath bombs. So,
what about the Jim Denny? You got any Jim Denny products in the works? Hair gel.
Have you noticed though? He's trying
careful
to
now.
Hair grow longer.
I know you don't like it. Jimmy.
Not so
get
much.
Cut.
In fact, he's headed to his hairstylist today. So
good.
Go do some fun. Go have some fun with your grandkids.
All right. See you. Thanks for asking me. It's fun.
Thanks.